Vectis Radio.
We're going to speak to Jane, the radio veterinary nurse. Good afternoon, Jane.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Very good. Warm, but all good.
What are you going to talk to us about today?
We're going to carry on from last time about summer dangers and talk a little bit about grass and sea.
Right.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
What about grass? Is that the seeds and things?
Yes. So it's the right time of year. All the grass seeds are coming out. And one of our biggest things at the moment is grass seeds getting in places they shouldn't.
Yes, like snuffed up noses. And
yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we've had probably the highest amount this year, probably because of the dry weather, of grass seed cases. And not only do they get in paws, so one of the things I always encourage people to do is check your dog's paws when they come in, because they can get stuck in between the toes. And what grass seeds are great at, because of their shape and their arrow shape, is they get in and then they can move around the body.
Right.
So we've had probably 4 cases this year we've had to send to referral where the grass seed has moved and it's got into the chest or it's got into other parts of the body.
Nasty.
Come out of places it shouldn't. So
does that happen with cats as well?
Not quite so much, because they generally don't go out as much in the grass as dogs do, and they're a little bit more picky about where they go and what they do. But cats do have grass problems, but quite often it's blades of grass that go up a nose, or they eat some grass and they might regurgitate it and it goes up their nose. So the owners might see them sneezing or not, and little bits of blood coming out of the nose because
nasty.
it just gets up there.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll have to do an anaesthetic and pull that blade of grass out.
Yeah.
And grass is very similar to the seeds. It's got little barbs on it, so it's very difficult to change the opposite direction in, and that's what causes quite a lot of trauma.
Right.
Very irritating for them.
So a good thing to be aware of, so.
Yes, it's very important to check toes and feet.
But it's interesting watching a cat sneeze, because there's nothing, and then suddenly it's, this explosion, and they look at it and go, what was that?
Where did that come from?
and
they do make quite a lot of snotty stuff when they do that as
well. Yeah, when they sneeze in your face.
Yeah.
Thanks, we've all got some now.
Sprayed it far and wide.
So you talked about the signs with cats. So what are the signs you would have to look up for with dogs?
So with dogs, checking the feet and the paws when they come in from walks, making sure that they're not snuffling in things. But what you'll often see is, for paws, especially if they get a grass seed stuck in between the toes, you'll see a cyst on the top of the foot
or
on the bottom of the foot, and you'll see a little red bump, fur will come off, and you'll see a mark, and then you might get some pus coming out of that.
And they go lick, 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 do they?
They do, yes, because it's very itchy and very uncomfortable for them.
Okay.
And if they migrate, you might see that somewhere else, but if they go somewhere internally, then they'll generally be very unwell and look very poorly, and you might not really know why they're feeling unwell.
No.
And then that comes down to good conversations with your vet, where they've been, what they do, and probably some scans and imaging to find out what the problem is.
Can I say, grass seeds are quite small. Are they going to show up on a scan?
On a CT scan,
They
will. Sometimes on an ultrasound, if there's a focal point. So sometimes, because it's a foreign material and it might be carrying some bacteria or some different materials, the body will maybe form an abscess around it.
Right,
so you might see that before you see anything else. And we have had dogs come in with lumps on their side, and when you open it, there's a grass seed in the middle.
Right.
And that's been all the way around the body before it's found its point where it's exited.
Oh,
so
That's intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never thought that. Grass seed.
Ears, of course. Again.
Yes. Especially the fluffy dogs, the spaniels, and the dogs with the ears that hang down. Yeah. They're really susceptible to picking those up. So again, when they come in from their walk, lifting the ears up, having a look. If they go down, you can't see them, but if you can catch them in the fur around the ears to stop them going in. So
the cat gets covered in sticky buds.
Yes.
You have to keep pulling off him.
And cats' ears are a little bit, they don't get quite so much of a problem because they're a bit more open, whereas the floppy-eared dogs are always the ones who will get grass seeds down them, whereas the cats and the more pointy-eared dogs will quite often shed them out if they give a good shake. So.
Good.
Yeah.
And now the sea.
And the sea, yes. So obviously it's very, very hot still. And we're taking our dogs on the beach. I saw some the other day. I know we're having a fabulous time, which is great because it keeps them cool and it calms them down and they really enjoy it. But some of the risks that we have come in at the moment are dogs that maybe get a little bit out of their depth and they panic a little bit and they ingest a lot of seawater.
Yes.
And small amounts will cause an upset tummy, so you might have vomiting or diarrhea, which is fairly easily remedied, but some dogs will gulp quite a lot down, and that can, the salt levels in that can upset their balances. So they can be quite poorly and be admitted into the hospital for a few days.
But they have to go on a drip and things.
So we always say just to be a little bit careful. If the dogs aren't good in water or they're a little bit panicky, a little life jacket's really good because it keeps them buoyant. So it stops them going under and then swallowing the water.
I've seen cats in a life jacket when they're on boats and
And you can get them for dogs. There's a new one that I've just seen on social media that's actually got a little shelf under the chin that they can rest their chin on, so their head up out of the water, which is really
good.
Cool.
Got a GPS in it.
Off they swim.
Just strap a shelf to your dog, you'd be fine.
Yeah. Don't put a shark fin on it, though. People don't like that. Beaches. So the seawater ingestion is always a bit of a worry. And the other thing that we often talk about is dogs getting into trouble at sea as well, especially if they go a little bit out of their depth. And there have been a few rescues recently. It's important, like the RNLI say, that they quite often end up helping people who've tried to help dogs because the dogs are panicking and the people get in trouble themselves. It's always important if you see a dog in trouble to make sure that you're safe and you've got the right ability to save them or help them, because you will actually sometimes end up being the person needing to be rescued.
There's a guilt thing though, isn't there? I've got to save my dog.
But always make sure that you've got somebody with you or get some help to do that, because they, especially big dogs, they'll flap around and they can panic and that can pull you under or make you a victim rather than saving them. And actually the dog's probably going to cope better than
you can probably get a very, 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 very long rope or something tied to the dog to
so
you can't go too far,
and you can help guide it back. A lot of them, they just get lost as they go off from the beach, and then they don't realize how far they've gone, so keeping an eye on them, keeping them in the shadows as much as you can.
Just make sure you keep your eye on them, basically.
Don't let them
make sure that if they go out of your sight, that you maybe have a good look. And if you can't find them, I call for some help to assist you.
So, also, when you talk about the water there, the sea, there's stuff on the beach as well, I imagine, that you'll watch out for.
So we do get a lot of fishing line, fishing hooks, nets and things wash up on the beach over the summer. That's a year-round thing, really. It's not so much the summer that's the problem, but we're on the beach a lot with our dogs a lot more because the weather's nice and we want to keep them cool. Fish hooks are a very real problem for dogs. They normally contain something that's very stinky and dogs think is great, so they always want to have a little nibble on that, and if there's a hook in that,
it can get stuck.
We've taken hooks out of lots of places. If we're really lucky, it's in a lip and it's quite easy. If they go further down, then it's a lot bigger procedure. So it could get stuck in the stomach or in the esophagus. That's the most challenging one.
So do you have issues with, you were talking about grass earlier, do you have issues with sand?
Not quite so much places it shouldn't go. It's that comes out of the coat and the feet and stuff fairly easily, so it's always a good idea to wash your dog's feet and coat after they've been on the beach. But the more difficult one with dogs on beaches is how much sand they might ingest, because balls roll and then lots of sand picks up, and they can ingest the sand, and then that can cause a clog and a blockage, and that involves lots of medication to shift things through. And we've had a few of those, but not as many, because I think people are a little bit more vigilant about keeping their toys clean, and they don't tend to want to eat the sand, but if there's something in the sand that's a bit stinky, they'll probably have a go at that, and then that might upset the tummy as well. So
there's no hope really with dogs, is there?
No, they're dustbins really. If it smells bad and we don't want them to eat it, it's gone.
That's exactly it. So I mean, I just put it out there. If you are, I know this stuff's getting washed up on the beach, fish hooks and stuff, but if you are a fisherman, try and keep that stuff tidied away.
Yeah.
He's not just dogs, but human beings can get caught up in that stuff too. So.
Yeah, and other animals as well.
Birds, all sorts.
So, basically, the rule is if you're taking your dog on the beach, we're not going to talk about cats now, because cats on the beach, not going to happen, largely.
Well, my friend's new kitten is, they're harness training, and they are taking him on the beach, but he's on a harness, so it's very easy to observe.
But basically, keep an eye on your dog.
Yeah.
Watch out what it's doing. You've got to be quick to stop it eating something. Very fast. You probably won't do that.
No, you won't catch it in time normally. Because as soon as they see you coming, that's it. They've inhaled it, regardless of whether they were going to chew it or not.
But if in doubt, always check with your vet.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
So, especially around this time of year.
So is it a vet? Does it have to be any vet? Do you just ring any vet if you're in an emergency?
Ideally, your own vet, because they'll have all your history. But if you're on holiday or if you're away... the closest local vet is the best person.
So if you're listening and you're on holiday on the island and you think your dog isn't that well, then don't hesitate. Ring any local vet, the nearest one to you, Google it. There'll be somebody close to you. And all the vets I've ever spoken to, animals always come first.
Absolutely.
They don't care what time of day it is. Ring them up. They'll sort something out.
No, they will. And they'll get you in and they'll get you seen. And the priority is to make sure they're okay, and then... planning what happens next will just depend on what's happened. If they've eaten a fish hook and it's gone somewhere, you're going to get it out somehow.
Absolutely.
Always have insurance.
Oh, yes. Thank
you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me again.
Team do for our animals.
Yes.
And a lot of it's common sense, but, you know, we're on holiday. We sometimes don't think about
these
things.
It's great information, isn't it?
It's great information. It's
very useful, especially around now. I mean, at all times of the year, really, but especially as everyone's going on the beach and people are getting outside more, especially, maybe it's a bit too warm to this week, but maybe. And also, can you find animals with burns, maybe, because of the heat?
Oh, sunburns are a common thing. We talked a little bit about that last time, but especially your white animals, so cats with ear tips and white extremities will definitely be susceptible to sunburn, and some of the lighter coloured short haired dogs. So there are some pet safe sun creams on the market that you can get, and definitely best to apply that. The same principle as us, pop it on before they go in the sun. It's great for protecting those extremities.
And important that the pet safe one, not just any old sunblock.
There are pet safe ones available in most of the local pet shops. It's important that the other ones might have something that's toxic for them. So pet safe ones.
And in this heat, they can get heat stroke, can't they?
Yes. Yeah. So heat stroke's definitely a common thing. We've been quite lucky this year. We haven't seen too many, which is good. People have been very sensible. Touch wood. Yes. it's just a case of sometimes it's that I'm just going to pop in the shop for a minute, and actually a minute in a car when it's 35 degrees outside is too much. So it's just that sensible thought, walking first thing in the morning when it's still cool, although finding cool is a little bit difficult, but we're coming into the later year now. So later in the year, it's a bit cooler in the mornings and the evenings. And trying to get them out, avoiding the heat of the day and just making sure that when you do take them out, that the pavement's not too hot for them. Pop your back of your hand down to test that as well, just to see how.
If you can't keep your hand on, it's too hot for their little paws, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially because they can get very hot around this time of year.
Yeah. And if you are calling, we did have a heatstroke dog in the other day, and we spent quite a long time cooling, so we put them in a cold bath and lots of water. Some of the dog breeds, specifically the ones that are water dogs and do swim a lot, their coat is very waterproof, so you really need to work the coat around and massage so that the cold water gets to the skin. Because we found that when we were doing that, we moved the hair and actually underneath was completely dry. So there's a lot of dogs that are so waterproof, which is great because it helps them if they do go in the sea, but it doesn't help trying to cool them down. So always get the shower on them and get onto the what I call the squashy bits, so under their arms, on their bellies, and the slightly less hairy areas if you need to cool them down, and make sure you massage through that coat so that you're getting water, cold water, right to the point.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, Thank you for coming in, Jane.
Thank you for having me.
Have you again up here in a few weeks' time, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we'll probably be into the autumn, getting towards the autumn by then.
Yes, yeah, we'll be talking about exciting Halloweeny things, I expect.
Yes, indeed, we shall.
Don't dress up your dog as a witch.
No. Vectis Radio on DAB.